We're here in the Congressional Corner with David Hawkings, the senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, and author of Hawkings Here, blog and column. He's been covering Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David, you know I have a very special friend. She's been a friend for a long time, Elizabeth Esty. She's the congresswoman from Northwest Connecticut. She's been on the show many times with the very show that you're talking to me on now. What happened?
Gosh, what happened? She made a major political miscalculation, is what happened, and a major career miscalculation, and is now, come January, no longer going to be the congresswoman for Northwestern Connecticut because she's not running again because her own Democratic leadership basically walked away from her. The facts are that she shielded, I think that's the right word, she shielded her chief of staff for some 3 months after learning that he apparently, fueled by an alcohol abuse problem, had a relationship with a subordinate, a woman on his staff. I mean, he's the chief of staff. She worked for him, and they both worked for the congresswoman. Relationship went bad. He was verbally abusive and threatened to kill her, and Mrs. Esty did not react the way did not react with clarity and definition by letting this guy go. In fact, she kept him on the staff for 3 months. She ended up writing him a somewhat positive letter of recommendation, got him a job with the lobbying organization that was created after the Newtown gun shooting, the gun mass killing in Newtown. And when this came to light last week, the reaction was a deafening, pretty deafening silence from the Democratic leadership, from her fellow Democrats in Connecticut, and she concluded that it was time to leave.
And that was a very close district, right? In other words, this is not a place where she had won by so many votes that she could weather this out.
That's true. You know, so it was she won the seat in 2012 by just a single point, 1 point against a guy named Drew Rohrbach, who was a longtime state legislator, who's now become a judge in Connecticut, in that part of Connecticut. She won by a little bit wider margins the last two times, but I believe that Hillary Clinton carried the district by only 4 percentage points. So theoretically, a toss-up, a potentially toss-up district. Now, in this kind of a year, can the Republicans who have become, you know, the Republican Party in Connecticut, like elsewhere in the country, is not the party of Lowell Weicker and Chris Shays anymore. It has been taken over by the Trump faction. Trump scored an amazing win all over Connecticut when he ran 2 years ago. He won Greenwich for goodness sakes. I mean, it's a Trumpian party, and they will presumably nominate somebody with Trumpian appeal and on the Republican side, and whether in this year, in this environment, that person can win, you know, I don't think so. And my colleagues who actually do political ratings, election campaign ratings, say that they still view the 5th District of Connecticut as a safe Democratic seat, you know, for now, unless the Democrats, it's going to be an enormously wide open field. There are half a dozen people on each side who are running. And, you know, in theory, the dynamic could change between now and then. But at least for now, it seems it's certainly the Democrats to lose, and they'd have to mess up badly.
So what should she have done?
You know, I think what should she have done? I mean, I think the political environment of the moment, the so-called Me Too environment of the moment, where there is this perception that Congress plays by different rules, and that Congress members of Congress apply different rules to themselves than they expect to the rest of the country. She probably, in hindsight, might have been more crisply aware of that, and might have more definitively said, "This guy's got to go right away, and I'm not going to keep him on my payroll for 3 months. I'm going to fire him with dispatch," and not go. And what she did was she used the House employment. She admits in hindsight, handled it wrong. She used the House employment, the inside House labor councils, they gave her what she now says is bad advice to sort of to keep him on. And, you know, in hindsight, probably crispness and a definitive move to cut the guy loose would have been the politically more expedient thing, even though she says she was trying to be, I guess, humane. I mean, I'm not sure she's used the word humane, but keep him on, help him get his life in order.
And there was money given to him, right?
That's right. There was a severance, a severance package. And, you know, at the same time, the Democrats are now decrying all such uses of taxpayer money for a handful of Republicans who have gotten in other issues, in other problems that would broadly be described as having to do with sexual harassment or abuse, you know, the Democrats have been pretty vocal in condemning Republicans who've done this, and vice versa. Mrs. Esty is not the first Democrat to be caught up in this. There was a very senior Democrat at the start of the year, a guy named John Conyers, who himself was harassing female aides. So both sides now say this has got to come to an end. Congress itself is thrashing around a bit with how to bring this kind of the potential for taxpayer money being used to make these kind of problems go away. They haven't figured out a way to do it yet, but I still think there's a chance that between now and the election, they will.
Now, David Hawkins of CQ, first of all, obviously, it's one thing when John Conyers or another man does it. This is a woman. I think the signal goes out now. This is not going to be tolerated on anybody's part. And I think a lot of other people must be either shaking in their boots or saying, okay, if this happens to me, I know what I have to do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think the fact that she, you know, you're right. It's more, it has happened to both parties before, that she is the first woman to be sort of caught up in a Me Too moment in Congress. And yes, I think that there is clearly, this is sending a signal that there is, that the tolerance is going to be low, that somebody, even somebody who, you know, I mean, Elizabeth Esty was a proponent, you know, was a leading voice in Congress for, or at least a loud voice. I don't know if it's leading, but certainly a prominent voice for zero tolerance for these kind of things. And the fact that she got caught up in this herself, I think you're right. I think suggests that every member is looking at, is thinking hard about his or her own past and whether they have done anything that if it came to light would bring their career to a very swift end.
And they certainly know if something like this happens tomorrow that they sever the person right then and there.
I think that's right. I think that these, I mean, right. I mean, again, Mrs. Esty, she did not, she countenanced and shielded and basically gave cover to her, to somebody. No one is suggesting that she personally was involved in any, but still, yeah. Shielding your staff, shielding the people you work for, who you know to have misbehaved and awfully, and who have, you know, I mean, threatening somebody's life is a serious, serious deal. Whether he was, you know, he says blind drunk at the time he said, "I'm going to kill you," still no excuse. Right, so very, very low tolerance here going forward.
It's always wonderful to have David Hawkins, senior editor of CQ and Roll Call, and author of Hawkins Here blog and column. He's a real expert, having covered Congress in various positions since 1995. David, when we come back the next time, let's talk about your report on the wealth of Congress.